where we were, but we're going to take this a little step farther, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Did you enjoy last night?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It was a blessing for me, too. I've been, since he's had me on this image thing, I just, not only me, but I began to notice some others kind of catching the overflow of this, that the Holy Spirit is wanting to change an image inside of people.
Amen.
You know, and you can't move forward without that image change. You're going to get stuck and stay in the past if you don't begin to change that image, or at least let him begin to help you in that image. Change it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there for. He's there for several reasons, but that's one of them. And let's pick back up on this just a little bit in review, and then we're going on to the book of Romans. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 10 or verse 9, eyes not seen nor ear heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Well, sometimes, you know, to some people, the deep things of God might not be so deep to the rest of us or to some others. But then some of them kind of take that out of context and get off the wall with it, you know. Yes, He reveals the deep, spooky things of God to us. Yeah, nuts and flakes, usually. But that's not all that He meant, what He was talking about there. Everything in your inheritance, everything that was given to you at Calvary at the cross.
Man.
The Holy Spirit's job is to bring that to you. First of all, His job is to give us the capacity to receive those things of God and to be able to understand them and have them manifested in our life. Because before we were born again, when we were spiritually dead, we couldn't receive anything from God. I know you probably look back now, most of you that's been born again a while, you can look back now and think, well, yes, I remember I couldn't receive anything concerning God or understand it. It was just, you know, I just outright didn't understand it. You know, and then when you got born again and you received the Holy Spirit, He came in, made your spirit new. Made your spirit new, made it come alive. It was no longer dead, but now it was born from that second Adam, Jesus Christ. And now, all of a sudden, you're able to begin to at least to start the trip to understand. And that's what He's talking about. It says, the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, and God reveals them through His Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And there He's talking about, once again, your born-again spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He is, but He isn't. He's talking about the effect of the Holy Spirit upon your spirit, which makes you now have the capacity, renews you, brings that life, the spirit of life comes in, renews you and brings your spirit alive, that now you can understand the things that have been freely given. And so Paul was laying his foundation because he was going to address some problems, and all through 1 Corinthians he addressed some severe problems. You know, one, he said, turn him over to the flesh. You know, there's immorality among you. People sleeping with people they shouldn't be sleeping with. Turn this man over to the flesh. You know, he was real tough in that area. But what he was trying to get at here, he was starting to correct doctrine. And he said, here's the Holy Spirit. He's been sent to reveal the things of God. And you're not going to know these things without the Holy Spirit's work up on your born-again spirit.
Glory.
And see, some have taught that whenever you get born again, then you know all things. All things, you know. And that's just not the case. Now, you receive the capacity to know those things, but you don't know all things when you get born again. But the capacity is there for the Holy Spirit to begin that teaching effort upon your life and get across the things of God. And the first thing that he said, look, this is the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in men. Don't be looking at it in men. Don't say, I'm of Brother Gerald, I'm of Brother Charlie, I'm of Brother Roberson or whoever, or Brother Hagen, I'm of this, I'm of that. He said, don't say that. He said, the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's only one foundation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, not only is that the true foundation, but it doesn't just stop with that. It continues on. Be careful how you lay upon this foundation. Well, we want to lay a little more foundation upon that foundation tonight. I believe, see, one of the things I asked God is whenever He called me into the ministry, there was one thing that I had noticed that I did not like that I was seeing in the body of Christ. I could see people teach the Word and preach the Word, and it sounded good. It sounded good, and I know it was the Word.
Yeah.
But at times I thought, you know, they're not laying this out for any of us little dummies. And I was speaking of myself at the time, can grab a hold of these things and begin to apply it upon our life, that we can begin to change, because I really wanted to change. The desire to change was there, still is. I want to change. I want to change into His image. But there was times I would hear message after message where it seemed like that it was not brought across that I was able to take anything out of it and begin to apply it. It sounded like good theory. But when it came to putting A with B, and then this part of C with B, and then you have a full lawnmower assembled, so to speak, or a full charcoal grill assembled.
Yeah.
I couldn't grasp it with many of these messages I heard. Boy, they sounded good, but then you go away wondering, what did I hear? Did you go last night? Well, yeah, I went last night. Was it good? Oh, yeah, it was really good. You really should have been there. What did you get out of it? Well, you know, I really don't know for sure yet. It was good, but I don't know for sure yet what I got out of it. Well, what did he talk about? Well, I'm not really sure what he talked about. I remember faith was involved. Well, of course, faith would be involved. I mean, you went to Tulsa and you heard the message. You know, faith is going to be involved. You know? But I wanted to hear messages that I could apply to my life and begin change, or at least have that opportunity to apply something that I would at least have the opportunity to change. And so I asked the Lord, I said, if you're going to call me, and I know you're calling me as an evangelist, I know you're calling me as a teacher, I knew that from early on. I knew what He was calling me to, the beginning stages, but I didn't know the full extent as I do now in some areas. Still don't know the full extent, but I know more than I knew then. But I knew the beginning stages. I said, if you're going to call me as a teacher, Lord, give me some things that these people can use. Give me some things that I can use, that I can use on my own life, and then I'll know that because they worked on my life, if they work on my life, they'll work on other people's lives.
Yeah.
Give me those things. Teach me in a way that I can teach others. That's been my heart cry all along, that He would give me those things in a way. And we're going to lay some more up on this foundation tonight, that you'll begin to be able to apply some things in your life out of the Word of God, and all of a sudden it won't look so vague. It won't look so like it's just words on the paper, that you can begin to put it in action. Of course, now there's just one thing about this stuff. It doesn't work if you don't apply it. You could come here every night for a week and hear something from the Word that you could put into action in your own life. If you didn't put it into action, you wouldn't get any result out of it. You would sit here, and 10 years from now, I would drift back in the church. You'd be the same person I met today. Maybe even worse, because you knew more truth and you didn't apply it, and therefore you slid back. See, you're accountable. We're accountable for the truth that we know, that we receive, that truth that we receive. We're accountable for applying it in our life. As we grow more into accountability, for example, here's a quick example. You get born again, and you get a cold or a headache, and you just lay hands on yourself and say, Jesus, heal me. And I mean, He just comes and heals you.
Yes, He does.
Just real quick. 5 or 6 years down the road, you're slapping your forehead over and over, heal me, heal me, and nothing happens. Except your forehead gets red from slapping it too much. But that's because you went into an area of accountability. You began to know more things out of the Word of God, but you didn't apply them. The grace that you got by with when you were first born again, a new birth in Christ, no longer works anymore, because you received more accountability, because you received more truth and didn't apply it in your life. So therefore you walked in to a new area of accountability. It takes more than it. It's not anything wrong with God. It's just that you're supposed to be growing up. Paul said, there came a day that I put away childish things. So you have to begin to apply the things that you hear. If you don't, you can't even slide backwards in your spiritual growth because of the accountability that you go into. But anyhow, he says to make sure that you're careful how you build up on this foundation, because one day, the day is going to come that your works are going to be tested by fire. That works that is burnt up, that works that is not of Him, not of the Holy Spirit, not under what God's will and the direction of the Holy Spirit is, that works will be burnt up, because that is your own works by your own hands. And then that the Holy Spirit leads you into, that the Holy Spirit transforms you and takes you into the will of God step by step, that will remain. It'll be tested by fire. It'll remain. That's the fruit that you get laid up in heaven, and then results in your crown, results in your reward. So I want to be careful. I don't want to get to heaven and just find out all of a sudden. I mean, you'll know. When you stand before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you're going to know. You're going to know. Your wife ain't going to be there to hold your hand. Your husband ain't going to be there to hold your hand. Brother Gerald, he's not going to be with you to hold your hand. Jesus, I'd like to blame it on my pastor, Gerald. No. You were given the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you into all truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth, that you might be careful how you lay up on this foundation. So can't blame it on me. Well, you know, I blame it on that evangelist that drifted in every now and then. Brother Charlie, you know. No. My accountability is to give you the truth, whether you like the truth or not, to give it to you.
Right. Yeah.
After that, it gets taken off of me. I walk out of here free.
Right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans. Hallelujah, Jesus. Romans chapter 5. So anyhow, we want to take this a little bit farther. And you might at first see, well, I'm not sure how this lines up or how it connects. But the dots will connect before it's over with tonight. So just hang in there. One thing I like, I do like the old songs I was raised up. I remember some of the most vivid memories that I have is on Friday nights we would get together at one of the neighbor's houses. And I didn't play any instruments, neither did my family. But we were just always invited, and we would get together at one of the neighbor's houses, and everybody would come around. There wasn't nothing to do back there in them hills on Friday nights anyhow. So they'd get their guitars out and their banjos and their fiddles and this and that. And they would begin to sing a lot of old gospel songs. So I was raised up, even though I wasn't raised up in church, I was raised up around a lot of the old gospel, country gospel songs. So to me, if it's not country, then it isn't gospel. It's just a form of worship music that is being transformed. Anyhow, so a lot of these old songs are very familiar, even though I wasn't raised up in church, but I heard them a lot on Friday nights each week, and so I love them, I think, more than anything, though. Because of the revelation He's given me in the Word, and because of that relationship with Him, one thing that I've found is, as much as I like some of the songs where we jump up and down and we, you know, we clap the tambourine and we jump for joy, and there's a place for all of those songs, there's a place for all songs that are of Him. I especially like those that are anointed and those that are of worship.
Amen.
See, you can't worship God too much.
Amen.
You can't worship Him too much. You can jump up and down and use those old warring songs from the Old Testament all you want, and there is a place for them. But if you leave out worship, then you're leaving out a part of personal relationship with Him. You can only go so far with praise and thanks. It's good to give God thanks and praise. There's a place for it. But what He thrives on is those who want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Meaning, out of your born-again spirit, regardless of the circumstances, you're willing to lift your hands and say, Jesus, I love You. Thank You for saving me. And we think sometimes, us charismatics and full gospel, we think that if we don't have a tape on or somebody there to play a piano, then we can't worship God.
Amen.
What you've got to do is begin to develop that relationship that you can lift your hand at any time. Walmart parking lot, sporting goods of Walmart, fishing department especially. Lift your hands.
Amen.
Begin to worship God and give Him glory and worship Him and tell Him how much you love Him. Then it's when you're getting to that place where Jesus smiles down. Not that He doesn't like the praise and thanksgiving, but it's the worship that gets God's heart, turns His face toward you, begins that tangible presence begins to come in. Then is when you actually experience a little bit of heaven without having to go to heaven while you're right here on earth, just like we did tonight. It was wonderful tonight. I enjoyed last night. I enjoyed tonight. I'm just partial, and because of that relationship with Him, I know that there is a real important place for worship and that type of song. In chapter 5 of Romans, and starting in verse 3, we'll just start with verse 1. It's just a couple extra verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's one thing that you want to go after in the kingdom of God, it's peace. With peace, there's less defeat of the enemy, by the enemy. The peace is what enforces his defeat. He can't do much with you if you're walking in that peace. It doesn't have a whole lot he can grab a hold of when we're walking in peace. That's one thing I've been so appreciative is the early teaching that I received concerning peace and going after peace. And of course, that's the job of the Holy Spirit also, to bring us into that peace with Him. In verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Well, I feel wordy tonight, so just bear with me. I just feel this word tonight just... it just reaches out to me tonight, so just bear with me. You know, you might, I don't know what you're used to, but I know this, that He's after something here, so just hang with me on everything. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. It's by faith you're going to have access to everything that has been freely given to you. It's by faith that the Holy Spirit is able to work. When we lay hands on someone that's demonic, oppressed, or possessed, people have some idea that the louder you yell and the louder you scream, the quicker the devil comes out. That's not the truth. There's been many times that I've whispered in a person's ear and commanded the devil to leave, that they got totally free in a split second. It's the faith that the Holy Spirit has there to operate off of. With that faith, He can go in. It's Him that removes that demonic oppression. And the faith that's present in you. The faith that's present in you is what He can operate off of. And if there's not much faith there... Now, whenever He said that, this devil comes out by prayer and fasting, what He was talking about was removing the doubt and unbelief that you could have the faith that the Holy Spirit could come in and remove this particular kind of devil. It was because the Holy Spirit was able to come in based on that faith that was present at that time, able to come in and remove that thing from that child.
Glory.
So it's the faith that we access this grace. It's faith that we access this inheritance, which is by grace. For this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He took on your poverty that you might have the riches of heaven. And so the access to that is by faith. You might say, well, you're trying to turn me into one of those faith people. Because I thought that's what they were trying to do to me at times, turn me into one of those faith people. What I found is that faith is God is a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can call me whatever you want. People do all the time. All different sorts of labels. But I'll tell you this, you might as well settle the issue in yourself that God is a faith God. Nothing's going to be accomplished. So when He says, it's by faith that you access this grace, settle the issue for your faith to increase in your life that you can access more. And more and more of the grace of God. Hallelujah! Lord, I tell you, we could stop right there. We could stop right there, and you would have enough to go ahead and go out of here and dwell on it for a week. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How many of you know that? You know, there was some teaching that was contrary to this at one time, but most of it's been straightened out. How many of you know that? That before you can have faith, you've got to have hope.
Amen.
You've got to have hope. You can't have faith without hope. Hope is the first step. You know, and if you've lost all hope, and believe me, folks, I run into lots of, maybe there's no one in this crowd that way, but I run into lots of people that have lost hope. I mean, we can't even talk about faith because we're trying to restore the hope first.
Right.
We've got to restore the hope before we get onto the faith, and that's part of that image that we talked about last night, that you've got to begin to build that image and begin to let the Holy Spirit bring that image forth in you of what He is to you, what you are in Christ, what He has for you, whatever image that it may be that's been destroyed. You've got to begin to have that image rebuilt that you'll have that hope back. Without that hope, you can't even cross the line into faith. Hope, you're to cross the line from hope into faith, and then that's when you have the manifestation of whatever it is, whether it be prosperity, whether it be healing, whether it be peace. No matter what it is, you cross the line from hope to faith, but you have to have the hope before you can ever cross over into the area of faith. So let's read on here just a little farther. We're going to read from the version I'm reading from here. I don't know what some of the others say. I really haven't looked it up. But in verse 3 it says this, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." He has a role in that hope. But it says in verse 3, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." And boy, have I heard that interpreted a dozen different ways. I mean, some will say, well, then the Bible says there's a glory in tribulation, so therefore, what you ought to do is ask for more tribulation.
Oh, boy.
I've heard that preached from the charismatic pulpits quite often, you know. Paul said, be careful how you build on this foundation. That's what he was talking about, folks. He says, to glory in tribulations. Well, that word glory, if you took that a little farther and broke that down into Greek and let the Holy Spirit come in and reveal to you, and once again, you have to remember this, that the Greek is not always right. You know, and so you need to keep things in context, and you need to let the teacher, the Holy Spirit, in there that he can do some work. And don't make snap decisions. There'll be a long time sometimes that he'll give me something before I'll ever preach it. I'll meditate on it and meditate on it and meditate on it and pray over and pray over and ask the Holy Spirit, even if he tells me, I'll ask him over and over, you know, to get it clear in my mind, to make sure there's not some piece that I'm leaving out that he's trying to get across. I've had some passages that it'd be a year later when I finally got the revelation of what they were talking about in the Word of God, but it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait, because then I had the truth and I didn't have to accept straw in the place of oats. I know that Brother Gerald agrees with me on this. I'm just almost positive he does, but let me tell you something. You shouldn't accept straw.
Amen.
I said, you shouldn't accept straw. I've heard some say, well, you just need to take this and spit out the straw and keep the oats. Well, they don't pay me to preach straw. The body of Christ doesn't pay me to give out straw. They pay me to give out good feed. He told Peter, he said, look, he said, do you love me? Peter said, you know I do, Lord, then tend to my sheep.
Yeah.
Do you love me? You know I do, Lord, then feed my sheep.
Man.
I'm called to feed the sheep. I'm called to feed the flock. Even though sometimes you may not like the spinach that is shoveled out there before you, but at least it's good food and nourishment to your spiritual body. Sometimes, you know, we don't like the feed. But what you ought to refuse is the straw.
Amen.
If David comes up here and preaches you straw, you let me know.
Glory.
He says, we also glory in tribulation. So if you take that word glory and begin to look it up and break it down into Greek and meditate on what it is, as he says, to worship.
Amen.
To worship in tribulations. So let's take this a little farther. Keeping that in mind, now listen. This is where meditation, reading verses over and over and keeping the chapters in contact with one another, opening up yourself up to the Holy Spirit, this is called meditation. Meditating on the Word of God, this is what it will get you. It's something like this that will get you something that you can use on your own life and begin to change your life and change others around you. Do you know that you're supposed to reproduce?
Amen.
You're not a one-man show.
Amen.
You're not a one-woman show. You're supposed to reproduce. You're supposed to be producing others. Whatever your call is, you're supposed to be reproducing that call in the body of Christ. Maybe you're a nursery worker. You're supposed to be reproducing nursery workers for the future. See, you're called to get out of the Word of God everything just like I am as an evangelist and a preacher, teacher, whatever you want to call me. Pastor. Doesn't matter what your calling is. You're still called to do the same things in the Word of God that I'm called and Brother Gerald is called. Your pastor is called. called to get out of the Word of God. You're called. Nobody's an exception. Now, you might say, well, I don't feel called to the pulpit. That's not the issue. The issue is the Word of God, principles in the Word of God that will change your life and everybody else around you. So he said the glory in tribulations. Well, keeping that in mind that he says to worship. Worship in tribulations. Let's take it a little farther. He says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. That as you walk through these tribulations, you can't stand even one day without producing some perseverance. And as you stand in these tribulations, instead of these tribulations overtaking you, you maintaining dominion over them produces perseverance in you, in your life. Now, we're talking a lot here about character. We're talking about growing up. We're talking about leaving behind the childish thing. We're talking about leaving behind this attitude of the pastor is paid and called to hold my hand all my life.
Come on.
I thought he would like that.
Yeah,
he's had a lot more experience of it than I have, but I've had enough. But he says, tribulation produces perseverance. As you walk through this tribulation, as you have dominion over this tribulation, it's going to produce in your life perseverance. Now, that doesn't mean that you ask for more tribulation.
Amen.
Believe me, the devil will make sure that you get enough tribulation. You don't have to pray for it.
Amen.
You don't have to ask for it. He'll make sure that you get enough tribulation.
Yes, he will. Lord.
But he says this, and his word, how many of you know that his word never fails?
Amen.
He cannot lie. God's word is truth, whether we think it's truth or not.
Amen.
And if you try to give me your opinion of the word of God, I'll say, I don't want your opinion because his word is truth, and it doesn't change regardless of my opinion or your opinion. It doesn't change. The word of God is truth.
Yes.
And he says this, if he says this, then it must be true, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that character in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You know, it's a sad day when you feel like that you can trust old sinners, not even born again, better than you can trust Christians. And I've seen some that I could trust more than Christians. It's very sad. That's terrible. I mean, he said to be a witness unto the world. They are the world, but yet they're being the witness. But he says this perseverance produces character. Well, so you don't ask for more tribulation to have character. You don't ask for more tribulation to have the perseverance then that produces more character. But while you're going through this tribulation, this perseverance is produced in your life, and through that perseverance, then you begin to develop the character of God. That solid character. What kind of character are you talking about? Where your word is good.
That's right, man.
You're known by your word.
Amen.
When you make a commitment to the church or someone else, they know that it's going to be carried out because your character has been developed. We're talking about character, not flakiness. Where you're not just some person off out there that acts like they're in the spirit all the time and they're not producing any fruit on the tree. We're talking about character, that you're not lazy. That you set your hand to what God has called you to do and where He's called you to work. Let me tell you something. God didn't call you to get up of a morning and say, I hate going to this job. He didn't call you to a job that you get up of a morning and say, I dread going out. This is never going to end. What you need to do is begin to change the images before you. Begin to ask God to change the image, change the direction, provide something. He didn't put something in your heart for it not to be acted upon. Maybe you're someone that works in an assembly line, but yet you have this desire to work with plants. God put that desire in your heart. See, we got this idea about God that if you're not called behind that pulpit to preach, then you must not be called.
Come on.
That's false. Be careful how you build on this foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's many callings in the body of Christ. Now in the fivefold, there's certain callings. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor. Helps and administration.
Yeah.
Governments. But you might have a calling that, you know, through your through your life dealing with plants, raising plants, having a nursery, through your life you're a witness unto the world. Well, God put that in your heart, but yet you're going to that little assembly line job every day. Oh, God, call me, and this is my cross to bear. No, I don't think so. What you need to do is begin to change the image and get that image before you. If He called you to own and operate a nursery, begin to get that image of the biggest nursery in the world out before you. And even though it may not come except step by step, at least you've started by getting that image out before you instead of, well, I've got to get up and go to work this morning. I sure hate this. Now, don't take on any condemnation. There's lots of people in that position, but are you going to stay that way? Are you going to begin that trip to change the character, begin to remove the character flaws, begin to put the image out before you of what has He placed in your heart? You know, I've got one in the church up in Kansas, you know. He's put in her heart, you know, to raise horses and to show horses. And through that then, she's making money for the gospel. She's financing the gospel. She financed 2/3 of the trip to Peru the last time.
Glory to God.
Great.
To get the oppression off of you, not making any advancement in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Maybe you need to take a look at the image.
Come on. Hallelujah.
You still like me?
Yeah.
People spend 50, 60 years working the same old job that they hate the same old way every day.
Amen.
End up retiring a year later, die, and go to heaven sometimes. Sometimes they don't go to heaven. If they know God, they go to heaven. They went home early, didn't even get to complete their course. Never was in the will of God to begin with. Murmured and complained for 50 years if they made it that long. Some don't even live that long. 40 years. End up dying. 40 times. Just because they didn't begin to make the change. All I'm saying is begin to look at what you're doing and begin to make the change. And it starts with the image that's before you. If you have in this heart of yours to become a building contractor, if you have in this heart of yours to build houses, and you're over there in Tulsa working in a steel mill, you need to get before God and repent and begin to change that image. Because that didn't get in your heart by accident. See, I have in my heart to preach to all the world. I have in my heart to teach things like this to the body of Christ, that they can stop where they're at and begin to make changes. That's what consumes my life day and night. And also, I have a dual call. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've not mentioned this before, but I also have a call to make money.
Yeah.
Sometimes that, you know, I've got to balance both of them, but that's the call upon my life. I have to balance both of them out. But whatever it is in your heart, He put it there. And if you stop, look back, and never develop the image, and never make the steps necessary to get yourself over into His will, even if it takes a little time, then you're going to end up going to heaven, never finishing your course. You might have lived out your life, but I'm talking about finishing His course. If you've got in your heart to build houses and you're in a steel mill, you need to look to God and say, help me. But it starts with that image change on the inside. So then, I see that now. So then you begin this image change on the inside. Well, there's got to be somebody there to help you persevere through this change. While you're making this change, there has to be some perseverance. And along the way, then the character changes are necessary, that whenever you come before this thing that you're supposed to do, what's in your heart, your direction, then you're able to stand through all kinds of hell to make sure that you run the race and complete the race that you're called to run.
Yeah.
Because you took the time that through these tribulations, it produced perseverance, and then through this perseverance, it produced character in you. You began to make character changes along the way while you were developing this image and beginning to follow after this image of what He had for you to do that was planted in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is there to make sure that you get this, because He's there to make sure that you make the race and can deliver you to the Lord Jesus Christ still intact to the body whenever Jesus comes. That's one of his jobs. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. That redemption is complete with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was sent to keep us. He's part of our inheritance. He's the one that reveals our inheritance. He's the one that keeps us until that day that Jesus comes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's
see what the rest of it says here. See what he's up to now. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces
hope.
If you don't have hope, you can have hope. This character will stand. But regardless what the devil says, regardless what the circumstances say, regardless of what the world says, because this character has been developed through these tribulations, turning into perseverance, perseverance turning into character, and character produces the hope.
And get across the line
to have the manifestation. And it all started out with one thing. Worship. When? In these tribulations. You've been here with all these circumstances, all these tribulations. I feel like you're going to fall. Feel like you're standing there with one leg kicked off from under you, one eye up in the air, and one looking down at the ground. What do you look like? What's your image?
Lord.
This character produced the results in hope. When we worship in these tribulations, when you worship in these tribulations, how worship isn't, oh, well, I've got these tribulations. Oh, well, I've got this ugly job and an ugly boss to go with it with this ugly job. I have this ugly thing. The result of this ugly check at the end of the week. Oh, I tell you, I just take this job. Woe is me. No. Oh, Jesus, I worship you.
Yes.
You are my hope, Jesus. I worship you in praise.
Yes.
The devil comes knocking with tribulations. Oh, Jesus, I worship you.
Yeah.
Gives you a bad headache. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I worship you in these tribulations. Causes your body to act like it's sick. Convinces you that it's sick. Oh, Jesus, I worship you in these tribulations of sickness. Jesus, I worship you. You're still on the throne. Nothing's changed with you. Circumstances don't change you, Jesus. Nothing changes you. You change not. Oh, I worship you. You're still healer still. You were healer yesterday, today, and forever. That's you, Jesus. You're miracle worker yesterday, today, and forever. Your peace yesterday, today, and forever. Your prosperity yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Jesus, I worship you and praise you and thank you. Oh, my paycheck is enough. Jesus, I worship you and praise you and thank you. They laid a bunch of people. Oh, Jesus, I worship you and praise you and thank you. They were ugly to me at my job. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. I give you glory and honor and praise. The pastor picked on me all Sunday morning. Oh, Jesus, I worship you and praise you and thank you, Jesus. I give you glory, Jesus. You are my hope, Jesus. You are my hope. You're the author and the finisher. You're my faith, Jesus.
Glory, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Worship in these tribulations produces perseverance. The stand when the devil's kicking one leg out from under you. Worship causes you to be able to stand. These tribulations, then through those tribulations, through that perseverance, all of a sudden characters develop. I believe in the Word of God by His stripes. I was healed, I doubt not. I believe I'm full of faith. He already healed me 2,000 years ago. The character that cannot fail. And that character produces hope. All of a sudden there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is still on the throne. flows in me.
Yes. Glory.
Through me. Why? Jesus, I worship. Praise you and thank you, Jesus. I glory in these tribulations, Jesus. I give you glory, Jesus. You're worthy of the praise and the honor, Jesus. I worship. Oh, Jesus, there is none more than you, Jesus. You're my everything, Jesus. You're my prosperity. You're my peace. You're my health, Jesus. You're everything to me. You saved me. I'm going to heaven, Jesus. Glory to God. You died on my behalf that sin shall not have dominion over me. Glory to God. When that sin comes knocking in the form and causes tribulations, that worship causes you to persevere and then begin to change your character. Now all of a sudden sin truly doesn't have dominion over you. You truly are an overcomer. Not just saying it, but you truly are an overcomer. Now all of a sudden you cross into hope. Now I can walk free.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
The sin that besets me. No more can sickness drag me down. No more can confusion and doubt and unbelief override my mind. Now I'm free from those things and I can complete this race set before me. Why? My salvation, my miracle, my prosperity. Jesus, I worship. I glory in spite of these circumstances and tribulations. I worship. Oh, in the garden. Hallelujah. 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 Going to ring that tambourine lesson? Going to spend more time worshiping Him. Going to start asking Him to change that image.
Yeah.
How many did that strike a key in tonight?
Thank you, Lord.
So how do you know, Brother Rogers? Revelation or something? No. Didn't
yeah.
Those jobs that you hated to get up and go to, but you had to do them, pay the bills. God never did. He intended for you to pay your bills. If we don't have perfection, but He intended to take that He put in your heart and begin to follow. Do what He called you to do instead of what the Almighty God called you to do. You might have to cut a room off the house. You might have to get rid of one new truck payment to end up with that $50 note. It might take a little sacrifice. You want what He put in your heart, don't you? You want to make that change to what He called you to do, don't you? Well, I ended up with a zero in my life. Had a $350 truck payment. That's made. All the bills are paid. We got a little bit of spaghetti and macaroni for the end of the month. I made it. Zero. Yeah. That's not God's perfect will. It's okay. It's permissive. It's not perfect.
Glory.
What about some souls?
Yes.
What about fulfilling that race? That race? How can you do it if you're sick? How can you do it if you're working 12 hours, 6 days a week? Even if you get to go to church on Sunday, you sit there dead tired, you don't hear nothing the pastor said. You don't get nothing out of it. You start again the next morning. 12 hours a day. Because of a new truck payment. Bigger house. Nothing wrong with houses. I live in one too. Nothing wrong with automobiles. I had one too. I'm not preaching outward holiness. I'm preaching life change. Direction change.
Yeah.
Image change. Running your course with Jesus. So then the Holy Spirit, He gets in on this act. He can begin to bring that image forth, and now all of a sudden some hope is there. Now I can have this, I can fulfill the call. Now hope does not disappoint in verse 5, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Every direction you take in the Word of God, regardless what it is, whether it pertains to your calling, your ministry, is going to lead you to the love of God. If it doesn't lead you to the love of God, you're on the wrong track.
Right.
It's the love of God as the end result. If you have the love of God, you're going to want to minister more in your calling. If you have the love of God, you're going to want to make more money for the kingdom, to increase the kingdom. If you have the love of God, you're going to walk in more peace. If you have the love of God, you're going to have more perfect health in your body. That's just the way it is. Sin shall not have dominion over you any time you're sick. You've crossed over into an area of sin. Don't take any condemnation. All you do is repent and then begin to take that trip out of whatever that infirmity is in your body. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It has no dominion over your body. It has no dominion over you. It has no dominion over your mind. It is to walk in perfect peace. You have the mind of Christ. Now we just got to get it off the pages into our life. And that's what we've been talking about. Getting it off the page, alive into our lives. Thank you. Before I get so drunk, I can't do anything. I need to have you stand up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh. My words are already starting to twist. That's simply useless.
Thank you, Lord. I
So when those tribulations come, I'm going to worship Him more.
Yes.
What if I don't have anything, Brother Rogers, to worship Him over? You got a can of beans in the cupboard?
Yeah.
How about a can of Vienna sausage?
Yeah.
Oh. How about a shirt on your back?
Mm-hmm.
How about shoes on your feet even if you don't have the socks?
Oh.
You got something to worship Him for. How about your salvation?
Man.
How about the fact that you're not going to hell, but you're going to heaven?
Yeah.
How about the fact that He died for you?
This
life for you. You couldn't do anything about it.
Thank you, Jesus.
God sent His only begotten Son.
Thank you.
How about it? Thank you. You got lots to worship
Him. Oh, my God. Thank you.
How about that friend next to you?
Yeah, friend.
How about your church?
Yeah.
How about your pastor?
Yeah.
You got lots to worship Him.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I worship
Him. Thank you, Jesus.
I tell you what, if you don't mind, I think I'll quit and I'll go worship Him. Just talk myself into worship. Be like the guy that was conning people, preaching and conning people. He wasn't saved or anything. He was using messages to con people out of their money. Got into, went to jail, got saved on his own sermons. True story. True story.
I just
taught myself, preached myself into worship. Makes me want to quit right now. Just one problem. He still wants to do some more. So I've got to stay here. I can't leave right now.
Right.
Thank you.
Got to start catching yourself.
Yes.
When the murmur and complain comes in over the tribulation, you got to remember what that loud mouth evangelist said. To worship God. Glory in His tribulations. That it's going to deliver you to the hope and to the faith necessary to deliver you whatever you're in out of. Whether it be cancer, whether it be financial bankruptcy, whatever it is, bankruptcy of the mind, whatever it is that you need delivered out of, it will bring you to that place of deliverance and deliver you out of it, because you took the gun to stop and let your hand begin to worship. Worship You. Praise You, Jesus. I give You glory and honor, Jesus. I magnify You.
I worship you, Jesus.
Yes.
I praise you and thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless you.